Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning, everyone. It is 4 minutes after the hour, and happy Monday to you. And I hope your Monday is starting well. I hope you had a nice weekend, and if you got some projects done around the house over the weekend, congratulations, because sometimes you put stuff off, don't you? You procrastinate. I do that once in a while. I'm kind of guilty of that. It is June 26th. I can hardly believe coming up on the 4th of July weekend festivities, which is just around the corner, and that means half the year is already behind us. And today is the 177th day of the year. There are 188 days until the end of the year. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Anyway, say if you go to search Bill Arnold Early Morning Late Show, I think there's our Facebook page is up. And I just started this week adding in a little devotional, which our friend Pete put up on our website. And you can go see a picture I took of something. And then also a little devotional I wrote. Now, I was driving in this morning. I was listening to Faith Radio, and Rick Warren was talking about pairing a positive image with a Bible verse. And it's funny because I've been doing that for 20 years. And so I've taken a lot of photos I've taken from around the world as I've traveled. And I have taken a picture and an image that I've liked. And then I've written a little devotional with a scripture verse to the picture so I can have a pairing in my brain. So every time I see something, it reminds me of something. And that way I can always have trigger images in my head for a Bible verse. And the one today is finally up and posted. So if you want to take a look, they're very short. They're to the point, and you might get a kick out of them. All right. I've got Rob Bluey. He is on the studio line. He's the editor of the Daily Signal from the Heritage Foundation. And he is my Washington, D.C. correspondent. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. It is 6 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today. Be back in a minute. The sunlight is hurting my eyes. It's pouring in the window right now, and boy, is it nice. Say, I want to follow up on something I just said and the Facebook page. If you go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and go to the Early Morning Late Show, you can just click a little Facebook symbol, can't you? And then get right to the...
That might be the easiest way for people to find it, as we're sort of finding our Facebook feet, as it were.
Exactly.
If you go to our program page at myfaithradio.com, that's the Early Morning Late Show, then on the right side of the page, you'll just find a handy-dandy little button that you click, and it'll take you to our Facebook page. And if you like us there, then you'll get to see the great content that Bill has posted today. So that'll help you feel all sorts of better.
I don't know if I call it great
about
content.
Life and broccoli and all kinds of things.
We're just calling it content, not great content.
Well, we want to get people to see what it is, though.
That's true. That's true.
You got to see it to believe it. How about that?
Yes. So every day when I come up and I get up and I come to work and I love my job, but my goal is to not sound as ignorant as I know in my heart that I am. So I bring on people who are really, really smart. And my guest right now is Rob Bluey. He's from the Heritage Foundation, editor of the Daily Signal, and my Washington, D.C. correspondent. Good morning, Rob.
It's great to be with you. Good morning.
Thank you so much. You're always a delight. I always look forward to having you on the show. And you're the guy I want to go to on what's happening this week in the healthcare legislation.
Well, it is a big week because Congress faces a deadline. They're going on recess for July 4th, of course, at the end of this week. So this was the week that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had picked to have a vote on an Obamacare repeal or replacement. Well, it's turned out to be less of an Obamacare repeal. It does draw back and take down several of the signature pieces of Obamacare, like the individual mandate and the employer mandate, but he has about eight senators, Republican senators, who are basically standing in the way. You have about four conservatives, four moderates who are saying that they want to see changes to the bill.
So what are the rest of them? The rest of them are in agreement. What are they so happy about?
Well, they're happy about some of the provisions that do really scale back Obamacare. So Obamacare, as we know, the Senate, the House has already acted with the American Health Care Act. The Senate has now been debating this kind of behind closed doors for the past month or so. The problem is that it's not a full repeal of Obamacare. So for the conservatives, they're upset that the Senate is not going farther and just doing a straightforward repeal. Well, the problem is that the moderates are not going to go along with that. So even though they've campaigned on this over and over again, cycle after cycle, there's such a narrow margin. You have no Democrats who are going to vote for this. So you have 52 Republicans, and you can only afford to really lose two of those and still have Mike Pence cast the tie-breaking vote as vice president.
Mm-hmm. So if the Republicans are if it's going to be a full repeal, that would involve repealing pre-existing conditions as well, wouldn't it? And nobody wants that to go away.
Well, right. And so there are certain aspects of Obamacare that in particular states where you might have a moderate Republican like a Dean Heller in Nevada or a Susan Collins in Maine. Yeah, there are provisions that they don't want to see go away. I think there are other conservative senators who wouldn't mind seeing the whole thing go away. But what this bill does in the Senate is it makes some pretty significant changes to Medicaid. So you see a lot of what President Obama did with Obamacare is he dumped millions of Americans onto Medicaid. Well, Medicaid is a program that was flawed before Obamacare, and Obamacare didn't really usher in the reforms that were needed for Medicaid. So what this Senate bill tries to do is bring about some reforms. Now, we at the Heritage Foundation say that it doesn't go far enough. There are other steps that the Senate could take to make greater reforms to Medicaid, but it is an improvement on what the current system offers.
All right. Rob, what would be some of the steps they could make? You've got my curiosity way up.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, the federal government is known to impose a lot of regulations and mandates on states. And so one of the things that our experts are recommending is that the states just have more flexibility in terms of setting the eligibility and some of the other requirements that go into Medicaid. The second piece is what's known as premium support, and that would allow some of the Medicaid beneficiaries, and I should say Medicaid is a program that serves low-income Americans, the pregnant, disabled, others who fit into those categories. So this premium support model would allow states to have more flexibility in giving some able-bodied people who are able to work the opportunity to enroll in private health insurance, which I think ultimately is what we want to get at. We want to provide people the access to private health insurance plans so they can make their own decisions and not be dependent on the federal government for their health care.
Mm-hmm. Rob, is there a little bit of a crisis of honesty among the Democrats and the Republicans about this bill? There has to be some Democrats that are just raising and rolling their eyes going, okay, this thing is a disaster.
Democrats have already said that. I mean, you had Bill Clinton during the campaign last year talking about what a disaster Obamacare was. Mark Dayton, the very liberal governor of Minnesota, said Obamacare was a failure. So the problem is, though, in a situation like this in Washington, D.C., the 48 Democrats who are in the Senate are just not going to go along with any type of reform.
Right.
Not unless you keep the kind of structure of Obamacare in place and just do some tinkering. And we all know that Obamacare is collapsing upon itself, as the president has said. And we can either watch that and see how it plays out. That's going to affect people, whether they like it or not. Or, as Republicans are trying to do, they're trying to put in place some reforms. The problem is that with such a narrow margin in the Senate, they really do need to balance the concerns of both the conservatives and the moderates.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what do you think is the biggest concern the holdouts are having? What would be the number one issue in their minds?
So for the moderates, they don't like to see there's a couple of issues. The moderates don't like some of the cuts that are being made to Medicaid. They don't like the reforms. They prefer to, I think, have a greater role for the government. I mean, that's typically the position of the moderates. There's also some pro-life concerns. So there are some pro-life provisions in here that would defund Planned Parenthood. And there are a couple of Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who don't like that language. And the pro-life community is very concerned that even though that language is currently in the bill, it will be stripped out of the bill either by the Senate parliamentarian or through the amendment process. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the conservatives just, again, they don't feel like it goes far enough in establishing a free market healthcare system, that the government still has too many of its tentacles in the process of providing healthcare to the American people.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about free market healthcare, that sounds really attractive, but what are they doing to let consumers know what the price and cost of healthcare is? I think there's a lot of fear people have about doing things or paying for things because they don't know what anything costs.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up. Well, there are things like health savings accounts, which I personally use, and we as an employer at the Heritage Foundation have a lot of people who use that, and it's one example of a healthcare option that does put, I think, the consumer more in control because you do have a better understanding of the price of prescription drugs and the cost of care. There could be an expansion of health savings accounts. That's one option that I think some conservatives have looked at. But ultimately, I think you raise an excellent point because despite all of the nitty-gritty and the policy details that we're talking about this morning, ultimately what it's going to come down to for many Americans and people who are going to turn out in the polls next November for the midterm elections is going to be whether they have more choice in health care. We know that Obamacare has taken away that choice. And whether or not the cost of their premiums and health insurance is going to go down. And that's what they're looking at. That's what they're going to judge Republicans on. And so if the Senate is going to vote on it this week, those senators, I think, need to be keeping those two things in mind. They need to be keeping the cost and the choice in mind as kind of the underlying things that they're debating.
Rob, is it fair to say we've got work to do going forward, but there's also a lot of work that they have to do to try to minimize the damage from what's already happened?
No doubt about it. And so there's another piece of this, of course, with President Trump in the White House and Tom Price as the Health and Human Services Secretary. There are steps that he can take from the executive branch to try to reduce some of the regulatory burdens and the mandates that have been imposed by the Obama administration. And so I think regardless of what happens on the legislative front, you will see some of that activity taking place, and it already has, but the rulemaking process is not something that goes quickly in Washington, D.C., so it may take time to provide some of that relief, but yes, there are steps that the Trump administration is taking beyond what's happening in Congress.
This is why I request interviews with you, Rob. We're going to take a little break when we come back. More with Rob Bluey. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us.
Turn the volume up, you might be able to use the carpool lane. See, it pays to listen to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Good morning and welcome back. It is 20 minutes after the hour. I have the distinct privilege of having on the studio line Rob Bluey from the Heritage Foundation, the editor of the Daily Signal. Now, Rob, now the Supreme Court is the end today, and today's the time they take for their summer recess. And I said earlier in the show that I think I can picture Ruth Bader Ginsburg cranking up Alice Cooper's School's Out for Summer. I just picture that.
Yeah.
I think you share that space with me, which I appreciate. But the rumor has it now, and this is just a rumor, but Justice Anthony Kennedy might be making some noise.
That's true. So I was actually just over at the Supreme Court, walked past there on my way.
Oh, you had
to
one-up me, didn't you, Rob?
and it is busy out there already. There's quite a line to already get in and observe today's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
There are news reporters all over the place. I saw Pete Williams from NBC News, prepping his segment. So there is a lot of anticipation, not only about the final decisions that the court will be handing down, but as you said, whether or not Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is the longest serving person on the court right now at 29 years, will announce his retirement. He's approaching 81 years old. This is traditionally a time when you might have a Supreme Court justice step down. It's not an election year, so it provides the president that opportunity to have an appointment without kind of politics getting too much in the mix. And of course, this would be a significant moment for President Trump because he's already had one Supreme Court appointment, and so far turned out to be one of his greatest successes in Neil Gorsuch.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anthony Kennedy was appointed by Ronald Reagan. Is that right?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, so if this seat does open, you talk about a firestorm of controversy, and it is going to shift the narrative to this.
It certainly will, and that's for a couple of reasons. So, yes, even though he was a Republican appointee, Justice Kennedy is known as the swing seat. So he is somebody who will oftentimes side with conservatives on the bench and then other times side with the liberals. So he is somebody who both sides will fight aggressively to court on decisions. He's made some of the most he's made some of the biggest decisions in his time there on some of the most controversial issues. So If he were to be replaced with a conservative, there's no doubt that this would tip the balance to the right on the court for who knows how long, because, again, President Trump could have another appointment. There are several justices who are getting up there in age. And as we saw, unfortunately and unexpectedly, last year when Justice Scalia died, these things, sometimes are out of the justices' control when they ultimately decide to go.
What do you think about the travel ban? That's being voted on today as well in the Supreme Court, isn't it?
Well, so we are awaiting a decision on the travel ban, President Trump's executive order, and it has been debated, as we know, by the lower courts, and President Trump has certainly not held back his criticism of the lower court judges on this issue. But yes, this is an issue that the Supreme Court will be having to address. Now, it might not happen today. The court could do this at any time. This is kind of falling outside the scope of its normal activity. So if we don't hear anything about it today, just be mindful that it could be coming later this week or very soon thereafter.
Mm-hmm. And Rob, what's the feeling like in Washington, D.C. right now coming up on the 4th of July? What are the spirits like around town?
Well, I'd say that, for the most part, we just had this horrific shooting, which Congressman Steve Scalise is still recovering from. And I do sense that when that happened, some of the partisan rancor that you're so accustomed to in Washington did dissipate. Now, of course, with the release of the Obamacare bill last week and with Supreme Court decisions handed down today, you'll have your mix. I just saw on Fox and Friends that some group has released the Granny Off the Cliff ad to target the Republicans again. So you're going to always have that. But I'd say generally, particularly among Republicans and conservatives, there's an enthusiasm and a sense of hopefulness that hasn't existed probably in over a decade. You have to remember, Republicans lost control of Congress during the last 2 years of President Bush's term. And ever since then, really, they've been dealing with a liberal agenda in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Rob, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I so appreciate your insight. And you always speak to us in such a clear, understandable way. And that means a lot to me because I appreciate you very much.
It's great to be with you again. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. All right. It's 25 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. And then coming up in the second half hour, we've got Dr. Richard Land with us. It is half past the hour. We're going to take a little news break, but we're going to talk to Dr. Richard Land. He's the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's always he's always got a lot of wisdom. Be back in just a minute. Good morning, 25 minutes until the top of the hour. So glad you're with us today, though you may be experiencing struggles today. I hope not. But if you are, I'm here with you. It does not mean also that God has left you alone. So best-selling author and pastor Max Lucado points us to the book of Joshua for encouragement.
Joshua fought from victory, not for victory. This might be something that many Christians miss out on. They believe that Christ has saved them for heaven, but they don't understand that God wants to get heaven inside of them today, and that we, like Joshua, are heirs. We're part of the family of God, and consequently, we have access to every blessing of the heavenlies. And that's a thought that's so encouraging. That tells me that though I may have a struggle today, I don't have to assume I'll have it tomorrow, because every strength, every blessing that's in the heavenlies, in the presence of Christ, I have access to that because I'm part of the family. Joshua believed that he would inherit the land. He didn't believe that there wouldn't be struggle, but he believed he would inherit it, so he moved forward. And I think that's the reason many Christians don't move forward. They just don't understand that they have access to every blessing to help them move into the land that God has promised to them.
You want to hear that entire interview, go to myfaithradio.com and search Max Lucado. You should find it. It's he talks about life and grace refinement. All right, we're going to take a little break, and then when we return, Dr. Richard Land's with us. And we'll always look forward to speaking to him. Be back in a minute.
Has your teen been spending more and more time with friends and less time at home? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Often parents feel hurt or slighted when their kids no longer want to do things with them, and hanging out with mom and dad stops being cool. But as painful as these moments may be, it's actually a good thing. Kids naturally begin to move away from their parents as they grow up and mature, and their desire to spend less time at home is typically a sign of healthy independence. So be willing to loosen your grip as your teen begins to spread her wings and continue to be a presence in her life, one that offers guidance and limitation when necessary and grants freedom and responsibility when appropriate.
Mark Gregston has prepared a brand new resource to help parents draw their teens closer, not push them away. Download your free copy online at parentingtodaysteens.org. parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning. It's 23 minutes until the top of the hour. I have on studio line Dr. Richard Land. Dr. Land, you and I both have something in common this week. We both have our teams in first place. Houston is in first place in the AL West by 13 games, where my Minnesota Twins are only in first place by one half game. But what the heck? We're both in first place.
It beats being in second place, and it certainly beats being in last place.
Isn't that the truth? All right. There's so much to cover with you today, and for those of you who are just joining us, Dr. Land is the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he is always someone I look forward to talking to. Let's start by talking about Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and he did publicly, of course, deny any connection with Russian officials to influence the outcome of the 2016 presidential election.
Well, I think Of all the absurd things that are being bandied about in attempts to hurt the president's credibility, the idea that the Trump campaign colluded with Russian officials to try to influence the 2016 campaign is the most absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some doing to become the most absurd. there is absolutely no evidence. And believe me, the intelligence agencies, the media, and the deep state have been doing everything they can to find any circumstantial evidence or anything that would buttress this story. And even the Democrats are now getting to the place where they're moving on from collusion because they can't find any evidence of such.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Land, what is this regarding the ranking House Intelligence Committee member Adam Schiff says the Obama administration was wrong for not taking earlier action against Russia after learning of election meddling?
Well, I think that falls into the category of what my East Texas grandmother used to say, that even a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while, or even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right.
Adam Schiff, in my opinion, has behaved extremely irresponsibly and in an extremely partisan manner in an important position in the U.S. government. And but, you know, he's absolutely right. The Obama administration found out about this by June of last year and were very, very weak and very, very ineffective in attempting to deal with this before the election itself. But, of course, we could say that weak, ineffectual, about virtually everything in President Obama's foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I mean, he told the Russians, don't do that anymore. Does that work with your children?
No.
No. There have to be consequences. And I think any fair-minded person is going to say that Mr. Obama was similarly weak in his attempts to deal with this as he was in virtually everything in his foreign policy. And, you know, Mr. Trump has been left, and the world has been left with a series of messes all across the globe because of Mr. Obama's catastrophic foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam Schiff, he's a California Democrat, and he said
yes.
that President Obama was reacting slowly to this because he was worried about looking as if he was trying to tip the presidential election in favor of Hillary. And I think if Russia was meddling in this election, what did they want the outcome to be?
Well, I think they wanted the outcome to be lost confidence in our process.
Okay.
They wanted to see they wanted to sow doubts in the American people's mind about the actual process itself and the objectivity of the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to hurt Hillary Clinton. I think that they wanted to they thought that Hillary was going to win, like most people did, and they wanted to weaken her by undermining the process so that Americans would have some doubt about whether or not, you know, she was a legitimately elected president. Plus, they wanted to harm her effectiveness as president because they had a lot of damaging information on her that they had picked up by getting those emails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if WikiLeaks may have gotten them from some other source, I frankly think they did. I don't think they got them from the Russians. But the Russians knew about them. The Russians had hacked into the Democratic National Committee, and they also had Hillary's emails. You know, I find it fascinating that the Justice Department supposedly was worried about the president's national security advisor, President Trump's national security advisor that was asked to resign, Ray Flynn, that he was going to be blackmailed. Well, listen, there's enough stuff on Hillary's, the stuff that the Russians hacked from Hillary's server, that there was a danger of them blackmailing the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, well, you know, all that stuff that was hacked off the Democratic National Committee website was very harmful. Well, yes, it was. But if they hadn't done all of those nefarious things, if the Clinton campaign had not colluded to fix the primaries against Bernie Sanders, then there would have the leaks would have had no effect.
Mm-hmm. I kind of believe Russia did hack into Hillary's emails because I did see Putin doing a lot of new yoga exercises.
Well, I think that the Russians, listen, they've tried to interfere with our elections before, and they will try again because they are an enemy of the United States, and they want to undermine the American people's confidence in the objectivity and the integrity of the process. I think they thought Hillary was going to win, and they wanted to weaken her and weaken Americans' confidence in their elections prior to her taking office.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Land, I want to take a little break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about the statement Jeff Sessions made saying that he had no collusion whatsoever with the Russians, but then he also made a point of recusing himself from the investigation following reports that he did not quite mention two meetings with Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador in Washington, D.C. I want to get your analysis on that when we get back. So 15 minutes until the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Bill Arnold here talking to Dr. Richard Land.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening this morning. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. We love having you listen. And thank you for supporting Faith Radio as well. I'm speaking to Dr. Richard Land. He's the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. And I have a question because I want some of your analysis, Dr. Land, and that is Jeff Sessions did state quite emphatically that there was no collusion on his part. Yet, what about those remarks where he recused himself from the Russia investigation? Because he kind of didn't mention the two meetings with Sergei Kislyak.
Well, let's talk about meetings, first of all. I mean, one of the meetings was he was at an event, and after the event, the Russian ambassador, who evidently is quite the man about town, half of the population of D.C. has met the Russian ambassador, shook hands with him, and they exchanged comments in a room full of people.
Okay,
that's not what I would call a meeting.
No, I wouldn't either.
And
greeting,
I think
not
that,
a meeting.
I think Sessions should not have recused himself, but he is such a super scrupulous guy that he wanted to avoid any appearance of any lack of objectivity in the issue, so he recused himself. I understand. I've heard from others that the president was not very happy with him for doing that because he thought it was unnecessary. But let's contrast that with the special counsel, Bill Mueller, and his not even talking about recusing himself when he's going to be investigating, among others, one of his best friends and longtime colleague, James Comey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have meetings. They didn't have three meetings. They are very close friends, very close colleagues, and have been for almost 20 years.
Wow.
How can he objectively, even if he could objectively investigate, how could he avoid the appearance of not being objective when you're investigating your best friend? I guarantee you, if Mueller was a judge and a case was coming before him that involved James Comey to this extent, he would recuse himself.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Lynn, I also want to talk to you about this study that came out regarding 5.7 million non-citizens casting votes in the last election. What are we going to do to restore voter confidence in the election process?
Well, isn't that interesting? You know, the liberal press and the Washington establishment have been casting aspersions on the president and mocking the president for the president's statements about widespread election fraud in our elections.
Uh-huh.
And that that there was no election where this made a difference. Well, many of us have felt that there certainly was enough evidence for an investigation and to study this, because we need to have, only American citizens voting in American elections.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and of course, the establishment and the liberal press have done everything they can at every turn to blunt and to stymie attempts to ensure that our electoral process is not being subverted from within by massive illegal voting. Now, you have to show your ID to check into a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show picture ID to check into a hotel. But you don't have to show picture ID in order to vote in an election. That is absurd. We ought to have a requirement in every state, in every locality, in every federal election, that if you're going to vote, you have to show a picture ID and you have to be a registered voter. And you have to vote in the precinct where you are registered to vote. I'll just say, lastly, as an observation, that it is amazing to me that virtually all of the dead people who vote liberal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dead people who are voting conservative, and people who are voting illegally and who are illegally registering people to vote. It's amazing, the overwhelming preponderance of them end up voting liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And if indeed this study is true, we have to assume that if there were over 5 million people who voted illegally, that the vast preponderance of them voted for Mrs. Clinton, which would mean that it didn't cost Mr. Trump the election, but it did cost him the popular vote.
Right.
Because he only lost the popular vote by 2.9 million votes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on this picture ID. It seems like it's a pretty reasonable thing. When they want a picture ID for me to buy Flintstone vitamins at the store, I think it's time that you produce an ID to vote. I know recently, since we've last spoken, you were at the Southern Baptist Convention, and I just love an update on what went on there.
Well, it was in Phoenix, and we got out of Dodge just in time.
Oh, yeah.
It was hot. It was about 105 degrees, but after we left, it got up to 120.
Yeah. So you got out just in the nick of time.
Well, I thought it was a fine. It was a good convention. We voted to reelect our president, Steve Gaines, for his second one-year term. We'll elect a new president in Dallas next year. And we passed some great resolutions that I think make it clear that where Southern Baptists stand on the issues. We passed one without any dissent to defund Planned Parenthood. And in all the talk about the health care reform proposals that are being put forth by the Republicans in the Senate and the House, both versions defund, take all federal money away from Planned Parenthood, which I think is a necessary and important thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And was it a good time of fellowship for you?
Oh, it always is.
Okay.
I have had several people ask me, how was the convention? How'd you enjoy it? I said, well, I loved it. When I worked for the convention for 25 years, conventions weren't near as much fun because I was going as an employee.
Right.
Now you just go for that, and yeah. Now I'm going as an employer, and so it's just it's a fun time of meeting people that you've known for a long time, people you've ministered with, people you've gone to seminary with. It was a good time.
Sounds like you're now more willing to pull some of your classic pranks.
Well, I'm more willing to. If I don't want to go to something, I don't go. If I go to something that I don't like it, I'm not having fun, I can leave.
That's awesome. Dr. Land, thank you so much. Congrats to your Houston Astros, and I'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
All right.
All right.
God
thanks
bless.
A lot. God bless you. All right, 5 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and then wrap up the big show. Good morning. It's a couple minutes until the top of the hour. That wraps up the show today. I so appreciate you listening, and thank you for supporting Faith Radio and to all of our listening friends out who are listening online. You have actually downloaded the app onto your smartphone or your iPad. Very cool. Very technology-driven. I think it's awesome that you're doing that, and thank you for supporting us. I want to leave with a passage from Leviticus. How about that into the Old Testament? Leviticus 19, Verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." That wraps up the show today. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.